Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Toyota Brookhaven services all makes and models. That could be why we were voted best service department the past 2 years. Come see why. Exit 40 Brookhaven or online at toyotabrookhaven.com. Great service, great savings. At Toyota Brookhaven, we deliver.
You're listening to the Rebel Report podcast, where it's all Ole Miss all the time. Here's your host, Michael Borky.
What's up, everybody? Welcome in on this Thursday night. We are watching hockey, but we are live because we have to be. And this has been pretty incredible to see unfold. Everybody that I know, everybody on my social media timelines, our radio audience, everywhere, talking about this hockey game in a tournament they just kind of spawned out of nowhere. And I'm actually locked in myself. I've got it going on right now. But we got to be live to talk a little bit about Ole Miss sports together. Going to be a bit of a shorter one tonight because I want to see the end of this. And I know a lot of you guys as well. My timeline is filled with hockey. What a massive success this tournament out of nowhere has become. And it's captivated me for sure. I've got my Mike Ruzioni jersey on that I bought like 10 years ago on one of those sketchy Chinese websites. And this thing's legit. I mean, this is like the etched, like this is legitimate, like bad, you know what, jersey that I got on, what was it? AliExpress, I believe, is the website. This is like $25. This thing's amazing. It's a little big. I was a little bit more substantial in size back then. Let's put it that way. So it's a little big for me, but that's okay. We're making it work. Glad you guys are here, however many of you are here on this edition of the Rebel Report. My name is Michael Borky. Don't forget to like and subscribe if you have not already. If you're listening on YouTube or watching on YouTube, there is a podcast feed wherever you get them. Just search Rebel Report, subscribe, and leave a rating and a review. And this edition of the show is presented by the Gregory Law Firm. DJ Gregory, he's in Fulton, Mississippi, but he can take care of you anywhere in the state. 662-397-9799 is his phone number. 662-397-9799. Personal injury. If you've been personally injured, don't waste another second. Call DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm today. Also, if you're a small business owner or you want to start a small business and you don't really know what to do or how to cross your T's or dot your I's, DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm has got you covered. 662-397-9799. Don't delay. Call DJ today, the Gregory Law Firm, presenting the Rebel Report. So, saw this the other day, brought it up on the radio show, and it led to some good engagement. So I'm going to bring it to you guys as well. Very little going on in the world of Ole Miss sports news at the moment, which is, I think, is a good thing. Got a basketball game coming up on Saturday. A big opportunity for Ole Miss in Nashville. Vanderbilt got kind of smoked. Not kind of smoked. They got smoked while Ole Miss was resting. Should be an opportunity for Ole Miss to get a bounce back. Not only a bounce back game, but get a bounce back win and play really well in Nashville in front of what I expect to be a few thousand Ole Miss fans in the arena on Saturday. Also, baseball. Game got moved up tomorrow to 2 o'clock. It's really freaking cold around here, and they made the appropriate call to move that game up to 2 o'clock tomorrow. What can you take away from Eastern Kentucky? I don't know if there's really anything unless it's bad. You would like to see Ole Miss's bats come alive a little bit. I know, again, it's going to be freaking just freezing cold out, but I would like to see for Ole Miss's bats, more productive, more quality, consistent quality at bats is what I should say for Ole Miss. That's kind of what I'm looking for. Otherwise, there's not much that you can take away from a series like this one. But did see this in The Athletic. It was in Stuart Mandel's man bag. I did that on the radio show too. Stuart Mandel's man bag is what I called it. That is not good, but I am technically a professional talker, and God bless those of you that actually listen to me talk because, ugh. Anyway, in his mailbag, he was asked who could be the next Florida State. Here's the question. Florida State went into last season with a lot of hype, and we know what happened. Is this something you expect to happen regularly in the era of the transfer portal and NIL? Is there a highly regarded team you might think faceplant this year the way Florida State did? As you guys know, Florida State went from going undefeated to going 2-10. It was one of the worst collapses that I've that you've ever seen in college football. How they fell off the way they did is rather remarkable, if you think about it. They truly were a disaster. And here is what Stuart Mandel had to say. He brought up Ole Miss. Now, he talked about Ohio State. I won't read the Ohio State-Oregon parts for you, but talked about Ohio State, talked about Oregon, and then, let's go! Boom! Sorry! Let's go! All right. All right. I'm a little behind. You spoiled it in the chat. That's okay. I need to make this, I need to speed this up a little bit, I guess. Let's go. We're back. We're back. Tied at one. That's okay. I mean, we have by far had more opportunities at the net, so it's about time we put one in. All right. All right. I'm fired up for the tournament that I just found out existed 9 days ago. I love it. Anyway, here's what Stuart Mandel of The Athletic said about Ole Miss. Quote, and then there's Ole Miss, where I'm not sure Lane Kiffin is even trying to develop his own players at this point. Last year's 9-3 team, 10-3, started as many as 17 transfers, including stars like Jackson Dart and Jared Ivey, who were there for multiple seasons, most of whom have moved on. And now comes a whole new class of transfers to take their place. I could see it producing double-digit starters, especially on defense. Ole Miss is my early leader to go from 10 wins. Wait, I thought you said that they were 9-3 earlier. Anyway, to missing a bowl entirely, but there will be others. So first of all, that throwaway line in there already starts you off on the wrong foot, right? That already is just a faulty narrative, a goofy narrative that frankly doesn't line up with reality. And it's this one. I'm not sure Lane Kiffin is even trying to develop his own players at this point. I understand where that comes from, but for some reason, people that cover college football under a brand like The Athletic still think for some reason that they think every transfer portal player is a one-year guy, or B, just because you get them from the portal and not high school, you cannot care or be focused on their improvement and development as a player. And to have that, he's not interested in developing his own players, and then make reference to Jackson Dart and Jared Ivey, multi-year guys out of the transfer portal that got significantly better from day one to day final at Ole Miss is really just kind of goofy. Jared Ivey is not anywhere close to the same player today than he was when he signed with Ole Miss. He got significantly better as a player in every way in his years at Ole Miss. Jackson Dart from day one in 2022 to now got significantly better as a quarterback. And so using those two guys as the examples for guys that are leaving, when you throw away this line about how you're not interested in developing players, it's just like this weird, almost kind of like message board narrative that really is not rooted. And no disrespect to message boards. I love message boards, although at times they don't particularly like me, which is fine. But that's the kind of faulty logic that you see like on the internet. And it certainly shouldn't come from somebody at The Athletic. Why can you not develop transfer portal players? J.J. Pegues, significantly better than when he was at Ole Miss. Jordan Watkins improved every single year in his time at Ole Miss. Obviously, Jackson Dart, Jared Ivey, the same thing. And even the one-year guys, Walter Nolan 2023 is not anywhere remotely close to the same player that Walter Nolan was in 2024. He got significantly better in his year at Ole Miss. And so to use that as like, he's not even developing his own players, that is not reality within the Ole Miss football program. Reality is they are developing players even if they come from the transfer portal. They are getting better in their time at Ole Miss, even if they came from the transfer portal. So that line in and of itself, starting that from there, is just, it makes me roll my eyes and just kind of want to ignore it, honestly, ignore the premise, because they do develop very well. Guys get better in that program in their 1 year or 3 years or 4 years. They do. And you can't really deny that. I think to this point also, expecting that kind of a fall off with this Ole Miss program, I think that they have received, they have proven that they deserve and should receive the benefit of the doubt when it comes to their roster building strategy. How many years do they need to do it this way before you realize that they have found some kind of formula, whether it be an evaluation, and they're not perfect. They're certainly not perfect at evaluating, but whether it be an evaluation or character assessment or whatever, that they are able to bring in portal classes that are kind of large and they acclimate well and they play well and they win games. How many more years do they need to do this at this level in the portal era? Because this is year four of the portal era, the wide open portal era. How many more times do they need to do this before you realize that this is sustainable? How many more? Because in this era, they have brought in heavy portal classes. Those players largely have gotten better, and they have won games at a level that Ole Miss has not won games since the late 1950s, early 1960s. And so I understand why you could possibly think they take a big step back, because there's a chance they do take a big step back in 2025. They do lose a lot of guys. You do have a young, inexperienced quarterback and so on and so forth. But I don't know if that's the program that I would bring up until they prove to you that there's the possibility that they can fall off. They've just been too consistent for you to think that they're the ones that are going to experience this going from double-digit wins to double-digit losses kind of fall off. Could be them. I just think that they've earned the benefit of the doubt, especially when it comes to player development, of all things. Taking a shot there didn't make any sense. The podcast is brought to you in part by Toyota of Brookhaven. They're on Exit 40 in Brookhaven, but I know that all of you guys aren't in the area, and that's okay. You don't have to be. The car buying experience is a stressful one, or at least it can be when you're not shopping at a place like Toyota of Brookhaven. So check out their online inventory at toyotaofbrookhaven.com. You can see their great deals there, and do some shopping before you show up to the lot, because I promise if they've got a car that you're interested in, you're going to have a comfortable, a pleasant car buying experience from people that will treat you like a person as opposed to just like they see dollar signs out of you. They're not going to try to work one over on you. They're going to try to get you the best deal, because that's what they do at Toyota of Brookhaven. They have a service department as well, Monday through Friday, 7 a 7 p. So it's convenient for you if you are in the area, you need your car service. You don't have to buy it through them, or you didn't have to have bought it through them. They'll take care of your vehicle. They've got new Tundras with interest rates as low as 1.99%. Use code Rebel Report online for $1,000 on any in-stock new Toyota. Any in-stock new Toyota, $1,000 on me, or if you go in person, tell them that I sent you $1,000 on me at Toyota of Brookhaven. Great service, great savings. They deliver. Got basketball coming up on Saturday. I'm excited to see how this team responds to what happened on their home floor last Saturday. They have said all of the right things. They said all the right things post game. They've talked about this break that they've gotten and kind of needing to reset. And I'm excited to see how this team responds. I mean, they are an NCAA tournament team. They've essentially already punched that ticket, but there's no way anybody in the building wants them to limp into the tournament. I think momentum, if anything, is a major factor in what kind of run that you can have once you get there. That, and of course, matchups. But this is a veteran team. It's an experienced basketball team. It should be a rested one. Now, what kind of character do they have? I think we're going to learn that on Saturday. If they lose, does it mean they have bad character? No, of course not. But I think that this is the kind of game that this is a character game for Ole Miss. We're going to learn about their mental makeup as a team what kind of leadership that they have. If they show up and play well and get a win, then that tells you a lot about that, because they're better than Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt's been tough on that floor. They have a win over Kentucky and Tennessee on that floor. They're reeling a little bit lately. I think that they don't have the same athleticism on the block the way that, like, Mississippi State has to give Ole Miss real problems. You would love to see Malik Dia try to force the issue in this game, and maybe arrested Matt Morrell will – maybe Matt Morrell will look rested. I know he's battling injuries, and they need to get back to being hyperactive defensively, disrupting passing lanes, forcing turnovers. They've given up too many open looks and easy shots at the basket lately. They're too good defensively to have turned out a performance like they did on Saturday. So really looking forward to seeing how they respond against a team that, quite simply, they're better than. We'll see if they can get a win. To the messages we go. I'm not a hockey person, but this hockey series has interested me. Man, it's been a lot of fun. Kind of like the World Baseball Classic a few years ago. Yeah, and we'll get the same phenomenon for the World Cup this next summer. So in 2026, knock on wood, I'm planning on, I'm hoping to go to the game in Seattle. I cannot wait for the World Cup. So I'm kind of a nerd when it comes to United States sports. Like, I get all into the Olympics. I follow our soccer national team extremely closely. I watch every game that they play. Obviously into the hockey stuff now. So I really like it. But anyway, feels really quiet now in the Ole Miss sports world. Like you said, not a bad thing. The weather is probably diminishing a lot of excitement for the baseball series this weekend. Yeah, weather and opponent. It's a shame that the opening weekend crowd could be weather impacted. This sucks that this has happened. Let's see Oxford weather this weekend. Friday, high of 30. Oh, gosh. High of 39 on Friday, high of 46 on Saturday. Sunday could be a beautiful day, high of 54. A little chilly, but not a recipe for gigantic opening weekend crowds, especially when you factor in the opponent. But I remember sitting out in right field with a beer in my hand as it was snowing a little during a TCU series to start the season not too terribly long ago. So good times. Good times. There will be students out there in the outfield doing the same thing, like a bunch of idiots. And I love it. Only way you see Ole Miss being another Florida State is if Austin Simmons is a huge bust. You think 8-4 is likely. Also, the schedule helps. You know, 8 home games and who they get at home helps. But that's another stupid thing about what was said. Ole Miss defensively, in particular, returns a lot of or they're going to depend on a lot of homegrown players, like the entire defensive line. I know they brought in a couple of portal guys, but their main defensive linemen are going to be guys not only that they recruited out of high school, but Mississippi guys. Perkins, Harris, Eccles, Franklin, those guys are going to be huge contributors on the defensive line. Kalo Stone returning as well. I know he's a transfer, but he's been in the program for multiple years. You know, Dottery returns at linebacker. I know that they've portaled there, so, oh gosh, they don't care about developing players because they got Chris Paul's replacement out of the portal instead. But, I mean, their quarterback is a guy that they recruited out of high school. They lose 4 starters on the defensive line, and they're going to be replaced by guys that have been there and that they recruited out of high school already. Their leading receiver is a guy that they recruited out of high school. Coming back. And I thought that was a very odd criticism, because they are only continuing to follow the same formula that they followed the entire time. And so why now? Why now do you think suddenly it won't work? Mike Norvell has a very unstable culture at Florida State. He let that thing spiral out of control after 2023. Another one, I'm not following what Mandel's saying at all. It would be absolutely shocked if Ole Miss won 6 or fewer games in 2025. I agree. I agree. Podcast, by the way, also brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online at absms.com. Advantage Business Systems has you covered for all of your Mississippi office technology needs. Tell them I sent you, get a complimentary office technology assessment. So you tell them what you need and what your budget is, and they will find a solution for you on me. That's Advantage Business Systems, absms.com. The podcast is also brought to you by Priority One Bank. They make you their priority every single day with their online banking platform. It's a one-stop shop. All you need is an internet connection. You can do whatever it is that you need to do with your money because Priority One Bank makes you their priority. A lot of people don't realize that the stretch from 2022 to 24 was built upon a lot of multi-year players. Absolutely. The 24 transfer class was so good it clouded any sight of that for non-ball knowers. And that's what they've done in this class as well. Not every player that they've added in this class are one-year rentals. That's never been their approach. They get them if they need them. I mean, or if somebody like Walter Nolan's available as a one-year guy, well, then you can't pass up on a guy like him. Everybody in college football wanted Walter Nolan. So if somebody else would have signed him, do they care about development? Anyway, the first sign that that should tell you that they won't be a Florida State is how they handled the Gator Bowl versus that pathetic crap Florida State pulled at the Orange Bowl. That's a very good point. That is a very good point. That was, despite their disappointment in 2024, the way they ended that is a sign of positive program culture, sustainable program culture. The fact that they didn't bottom out after the Florida game, that they beat Mississippi State and then went to the bowl game in front of, you know, 15,000 people or whatever. And, you know, frankly, Jackson Dart, I think, made money in that game. I mean, he might have had his best game of his career in that game, and that was the last time NFL teams got to see him play. The tape in that game is great for Jackson Dart. If he's a first-round guy, you can point to his bowl game performance as part of the reason that contributed to that. He made money that day. So, I mean, it helped everybody. But yeah, that was emblematic of culture for sure. Could see another 9-3 that looks very different from 2024. The roster and schedule does align itself with the opportunity to keep winning lots of games. Absolutely. Something you don't think many people brought up after the season ended was Ole Miss won all 10 games by two possessions or more. Of course, the three losses by 13 points stings the most. Yeah. It's time to see Ole Miss basketball play with that aggressive edge on defense and work through to the rim. Yeah, this is just it's another one of those opportunities for him, especially with a team that I don't think can present, again, the same challenges that Mississippi State can from an athletic standpoint. He is too skilled to be he's too big and too skilled to exclusively be a finesse player. And it's got to drive Chris Beard and staff absolutely nuts. But, man, he is so there is so much of a higher ceiling on his game than he currently displays. Former team, going back, quote-unquote, home. I don't know if you call it home, but former team. This team's ceiling is dependent on him. And he's got such great potential to take them there. So does Dre Davis. But Davis has been much better lately. The basketball defense has been suspect for about 3 weeks, particularly in the second half. Hope they lock back in. Yep. Don't think it's too much of a take to say Dre Davis has turned into the consistent anchor of the team. Man, he and his ability to switch 1 through 5 helps them a lot defensively. But, man, he's been a bucket getter. And it's a team that kind of lacks one at times. And he's been that guy. I think that he could even be more assertive with the ball and be more demanding with the ball, especially if he's going to be as effective as he has been in the mid-range. He's tough to stop when he's locked in. Padula also needs to play better. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. On paper, they're better than 7, likely 8 opponents next year. They're worse than Georgia, of course, but only 3 you can for sure debate on them as a toss-up is LSU, South Carolina, and Florida, all of which are at home. Mm-hmm. But how does Georgia handle a new quarterback? That's a big question, right? Is Stockton ready for that? We'll have to see. Baseball should start the season with the SEC tournament so they would actually take it seriously, shake things up, and make early season more interesting. That is the first time I've seen that idea. That is interesting. I don't like everybody making the SEC tournament, though. I think that's lame. Top 5 Jackson Dart performances of his career? 2023 LSU number one. Frankly, Gator Bowl number two. I mean, so this might be crazy because he's put up better statistical games. But I thought the way he played and managed the Georgia game this past year on that really messed up ankle, what was a legendary type performance. Again, you look at his numbers, you're like, why are you bringing that game up? I mean, injured, the way he was in coming out and playing the way he did after that and winning that game is one. 2023 A&M's a good one. Peach Bowl, that's another. Okay. Is that a good five? So 2023 LSU, 2023 Peach Bowl, 24 Gator Bowl, 24 Georgia, 23 A&M, 24 Arkansas, the record. See, this is, I know this sounds stupid, but I was more impressed with the way he played against Georgia this past season than Arkansas. I know that's weird, but I was. Stat-wise, only you think Arkansas is to be on the list. That's a fun exercise. I need to go through his game logs and do something like that, especially around draft time. Watkins gets most of the accolades from you at Arkansas. Yeah, he was, I mean, gosh, uncoverable that day. So Ole Miss should win 10 games next season. Remember Tennessee the year after Peyton left. You believe they're in the similar circumstance in 2025. I think they might take a step back defensively, but, I mean, they were the most productive defense in college football, at least in the front six. So, I mean, it's just only natural for them to take a step back in that regard. I still think that they're going to be quite good in that front six, but I don't think they have the same personnel. Best wishes Saturday. Both need the dub. Appreciate you, man. Glad to see you. Glad to see you. There's going to be a lot of red in your arena, though, man. I think anyway. I expect there to be. I think 8.5 is a decent win total. I would go under right now, but just by one. Just enough questions to where I'm not going to sit here and call them another 10-win team just yet. I do think, though, that they have a real chance at being that, but too many questions yet to be answered. We'll find out in week two, though. That's the best part about it. All right, guys, I'm going to go watch the rest of this hockey game. I hope you guys have fun doing the same thing. We will be we'll do something after the game Saturday. We'll do something after the game Saturday. So we'll talk to you then. You guys have a great weekend. Enjoy your baseball and your basketball and the hockey tonight and all that stuff. And I'll see you guys after the game.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.